Magic Dance by Darth Stitch, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary: Dream versus Baby, and loses spectacularly. And Hobgadling's never going to let him live this down. Hob's one of the few professors in the university who actually didn't mind his students bringing in the odd infant or two. He saw no point in letting a student miss a class due to babysitting woes, and the part of him that would always be a father was always happy to walk around lecturing with a little one in his arms, raptly attentive. Of course, it was also helpful to have a partner who was apparently something of a baby whisperer himself. Hob has a most excellent drawing by Little Holly Wheeler depicting Mr. Sandman with bright sparkly stars in his eyes dressed in his customary black. It was, of course, framed and given a place of honor at his desk. Hob had been told that the young lady had been most spirited in her defense of Mr. Sandman to her very surprised kindergarten teacher, who had found the drawing rather ominous. "He's not scary at all. He's nice, and he sings with me, and he makes pretty dreams, and he sent me the monster under my bed so I don't get scared when Mummy turns off the light." His darkness, the king of all nights dreaming, was absolutely not blushing when he heard this story. There was something of a light cough, surely not a sigh of embarrassment, of course, and he murmured, "Quite," as his sole reaction to everything. Today, it was Rose Walker's turn to bring in her charge, 9-month-old Daniel Hall, who might normally have been a very charming little man, except for the look on his face. It was a very familiar look for Hob, though he would smugly admit that he was now seeing less of that expression on a certain someone's face these days. "Oh, dear," Hob sighed theatrically. "We are in a mood today, aren't we, my lad?" "Hmm." "Don't worry, Professor G," sighed Rose. "He's not going to throw a tantrum in the middle of class. He's not normally like this, though. He's usually a happy little guy." "Well, I'm being as I'm used to someone who's not always a ray of sunshine himself," the class snickered. "We'll just let young Daniel..." "Right. Like, let's give young Daniel a little bit of peace and quiet today while we get through the rest of the class, hmm?" Daniel babbled what sounded like an affirmative. Hob smiled. "Good lad." The class proceeded as normal for the next 30 minutes, and true to Rose's word, little Daniel was remarkably quiet for a child of his age, quietly playing with his favorite toy, a teddy bear named Derby. That was until Dream had walked in. Dream normally just slipped into the class and would sit quietly in his seat, gratifyingly attentive to whatever Hob was discussing. Occasionally he joined in, much to the class's delight. Today, however, was the day Dream got a teddy bear thrown at his head. Daniel had remarkable aim and range for a 9-month-old, even if Dream had caught Derby Bear before it hit him. "Daniel!" Rose scolded. Daniel responded with angry babble, at which point the Lord of Dreams had crossed over to stare down at the infant, eyebrow raised.
"I am not in the habit of having to explain myself, Daniel Hall."
Sorry, Uncle Dream, you better, because he's been grumpy and bad-tempered for the last week. Wonder where he gets it from." Rose's tone was arch. Hob muffled a snort. Of course he ended up getting the eyebrow in turn, but he was already accustomed to the mercurial monarch of the Sleeping Marches, so he just met that with his best innocent look. Somebody slipped him a bucket of popcorn. Hob still wasn't sure how the class managed to produce the things whenever popcorn incidents were happening.
"I was obliged to entertain a fairy delegation who were not under the rule of Oberon and Titania. Rather, they were folk led by the Goblin King."
Dream paused and leveled Daniel with a meaningful look.
"They are rather fond of stealing small children away."
"Nope!" Steve hollered from the back of the class. "Not happening."
"As I count you dear to me, little Daniel, I would not allow you or any other child in my care within 100 leagues of their presence, which is why you've not been able to come to me in the dreaming. Now do you understand?"
Every person in the classroom would swear to Daniel's contemplative expression, which totally did not resemble a certain dream lord's at all. Then the baby finally beamed up at him and reached out, making the universe a sign of wanting to be picked up. Which Dream did.
Thank you, Your Royal Highness. This one is most relieved to be in your good graces again.
He imperiously ignored the soft snickers from the rest of the room and took a seat with Daniel happy and content in his arms.
Perhaps after that bit of entertainment we could go back to the lesson now, Hobbs said dryly.
Dream inclined his head regally. Daniel copied the movement perfectly.
You may proceed.
Someone was definitely getting kissed senseless once they were in private. There was only so much adorableness a man could take. The end. Footnote the first. Dream of the Endless would like to reiterate that he is not adorable, no matter what certain impertinent mortal-turned-immortals might think. Extravagant displays of affection are still very much welcome and very much appreciated from one's dearest and best beloved. Oh dear. Footnote the second. The moment Daniel Hall learned to climb out of his crib and crawl, well, it was pretty much all hands on deck for everyone in the Dreaming. He did enjoy the stories that Cain, Abel, and Mother Eve had told him while he'd been unable to enter the castle. It was just that he missed Uncle Dream. He liked Uncle Dream's stories better, and he did love watching him at work. Sometimes Dream would sing as he created his dreams and nightmares, and Daniel tried to copy the same sounds in the waking world. He hasn't quite got the knack of it yet, although his attempts pleasantly surprised his mother. She was, however, unhappy as she kept finding sand in his pockets and in his crib. Whoops. Footnote the third. Daniel learned the whole Uncle Dream thing from Jed, and while Dream was not technically his uncle, it was, the baby decided, a very good name to give him. Even then, Daniel knew enough that names held power, and every time he referred to Dream as such, he was making a wish, a very special one indeed. Also, the look on Dream's face the first time he heard Daniel call him by that name, along with the hug that Daniel insisted on giving him, made everything worth it. Footnote the fourth. It isn't often that Hob Gadling gets to be present at events in the Dreaming, but he'd trot out his best manners and gentlemanly airs if they were needed. Something that pleasantly discombobulated his darling. Sorry, but his darkness, Dream of the Endless, the Lord of Dreams, the King of All Night's Dreaming, was a far more magnificent figure than Jareth, the Goblin King. Hob, of course, is not biased in his opinions at all. Footnote the fifth. One of the professors in the literature department at uni recently retired, much to everyone's regret. The new professor, however, was a lovely lady with one of the most beautiful speaking voices anyone had ever heard. Her name was Calliope. Notes. Yes, I had the David Bowie song on repeat while writing this, and I was, of course, thinking of Labyrinth while I was at it.